Libraries are filled with explanations, learned explanations, big sesquipedalian words, blaming everything, everyone, for the evils in not just the world at large, but in my own world, on everyone. My friends, if I make this clear, you have made the best retreat of your lives. Instead of admitting and telling God, "Dear God, I need to be converted." All of this is locked up in this sixth article of the Apostles' Creed on which we are reflecting. Remember, our focus is on Christ's ascension into heaven. We too, whatever term you use, are to ascend, are to be assumed, are to be taken to heaven. Compared with that statement of faith, nothing else has meaning. My favorite definition of a totally psychotic person, utterly and absolutely insane, is one who believes this is the only world that exists. That is undiluted insanity. And those who believe that act with that irrational, insane behavior that we are now witnessing in our nation, beginning with the highest, dare we still call it, authority in our country. We go on. Remember, Christ's experience is a pattern of what our experience is to be. His ascension, therefore, into heaven was a reward of his humility. Since there was no one more humble than Jesus Christ, he deserved to be more elevated than anyone else. And mind you, we are speaking of Jesus as the God-man, man. He deserved to be elevated above all creatures. Although he was God, he chose to become man. And though he was the Lord of all, he chose to become a servant and become obedient unto death, even to death on the cross. By now, I've said that statement, quoting it hundreds of times. Even as I repeat it, I say to myself, and first to myself, do I really, really believe it? If I really believe it, do I act on what I believe? In other words, how humble am I really, really? Well, the humility has been no means submission of our will to the will of God. Hours in a given day are long enough for God to try our humility, to send us things we don't like, to take away things we do like, and then watches how we react. And my friends, that's all there is to life. That we constantly, every moment of our waking day, are aware of a divine will that is providing us with so many opportunities of bending our wills to the will of God. As I travel nowadays to different cities and see an increasing number of people that no longer genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament, no longer kneel even during the consecration, and are ordered not to kneel by the priest. I've had lay people ask me, when the priest orders us to stand during the consecration, should we obey him? I tell them, no. No. Have you thrown out for being a good cause? Oh, the autobiography I could write. Ooh. And I have a good vocabulary. And I've got a fair memory. Never in my wildest nightmare did I dream I would have to profess my faith in ways that others, they just don't do it. Why? We ask ourselves, why did our Lord, that's Jesus Christ, why did he, from the moment he was conceived in his mother's womb, the infinite God, becoming an invisible child in the womb of one of his creatures? My Lord, how lower can you get? Then when he was born, he was speechless. That's what infant means, not speaking. And he was then, as we believe, by his ascension into heaven, he was raised to the heights of the heavens. Why? Because humility is the road to exaltation. God will raise us up only in the measure that we humiliate ourselves. And God will put people in our lives Oh, how cooperative, how generous of them, how thoroughly understanding, how wonderful. You will provide us with so many humiliations, and don't you dare resent the humiliation. That's what life is all about. Not quite finished. What are some of the lessons of Christ's ascension into heaven? We may say, every mystery of our faith is meant to teach us something that then we are to put into practice. Christianity is not a cerebral religion to speculate on. Because of Christ's ascension, our faith in Him as our leader and guide is strengthened. During His mortal stay on earth, He taught us how we should live, so that like Him, we too might reach heaven. Remember, He told us, I go to prepare a place for you. We shall see Him in heavenly glory, provided we've been willing to suffer like Him, even in rejection and being ignored. And please, don't say to yourselves, don't think, gosh, here I was going to be exhilarated by this retreat. And his father heard. Oh, he brings in the cross and all those things that, well, I don't like. My friend, it's all wonderful. We're supposed to love the cross, never run away. In fact, it's not even good business to run away from the cross. You just make it harder for yourself. Our Lord's ascension should strengthen our trust in His power of interceding for us with the Heavenly Father. This is what we mean by Christ's everlasting priesthood. Hear it. Christ is our priest right now. I quote, He is able to save forever those who come to God by Him. He is always living to make intercession for us. The ascension of our Lord is a powerful motive for loving Him. We were made by God out of nothing. We've got to keep reminding ourselves, out of nothing. We are destined to possess the living God in our human bodily form, but on one condition, that like our Lord, we despise everything in this world. We have a cemetery for Jesuits only outside of Detroit. Overlooking the cemetery is a huge cross with Christ our Lord on the cross. There is a huge inscription which says, "If you are willing to suffer with me, I promise you will be glorified with me, even to eternal glory in my heavenly kingdom." That's what our life here on earth is all about. We were made for heaven, and we shall reach the heaven for which we were made on one condition, that we never lose sight of Jesus Christ, the one who, like us, was born into this world, who, like us, died, who, like us, rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Lord Jesus, we are destined to join you in your heavenly kingdom on one condition, that we remain faithful to you, especially, dear Lord, in carrying our cross faithfully in this valley of tears. Dear Jesus, we love you and we trust you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.